Welcome back to the Back in Five podcast, and I am joined with Brad Belcher, and we are very excited about this podcast because we have been anxiously awaiting the arrival of our new sermon series, and it's here.
It has begun.
We are back at the beginning. Right. You open up your sermon, I believe it was like, turn to page one.
Right.
And it was like, all right. You know, it's like, okay, let's get into this highly anticipated sermon series that will take us a while to get through. I believe that Genesis 1 through 13 has five messages. Is that right?
At least.
Somewhere around there. So we're going to get into it. Obviously, the book of Genesis is foundational for us to understand as believers, we're going to see all the themes of Scripture there in Genesis, and so we're really excited about it. So we kicked it off this week. So kind of talk us through the sermon. I appreciated it. I even had people say, even afterwards, like it kind of felt, with it being kind of an introductory week, kind of like we're back in seminary again. Like it's kind of like you kind of get some of these concepts that you don't really wrestle with a lot or think about often, and so we kind of got to kick off the series thinking about some of those things. So talk us through your sermon.
Well, we first opened up kind of with an apologetic discussion concerning God's existence with the statement that if there is no God, there can be no real hope, promise, or purpose for our lives in this world. And, you know, I just love verse 1 as it starts out that in the beginning God created. There's not a if God existed, he created. No, there's an assumption that, hey, you all know that God is and that he did create.
Yeah. And that's cool because you'll get that theme obviously pulled up in Romans chapter 1, you know, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, like it, you're without excuse. And it was somewhere in there, like you mentioned, like the golden embryo coming down and all these different, like,
The Rig Veda for Hinduism.
It's wild. I think about a lot of ancient cultures have their own account of the creation narrative, right? And one of the wildest ones is, I think it's like Marduk who like blew his breath into like a dragon and shot an arrow down there. So like the rest of creation was like made out of violence and chaos. But in the Genesis account, you just get this God who is.
The whole thing is incredibly reasonable.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good.
Right. I'm all good with it.
Yeah. So your first point was that he is the beginning and the end of all things.
Right. If we start off with the phrase in the beginning, for me, that begs the question, well, wait a minute, that must mean there's an end too. And we see in Scripture that there is an end. And so just by way of reminder that if we have a beginning, that God starts it all off, we need to also be reminded that there's going to be an end of things. And there is a whole host of passages that speak to that throughout Scripture.
Yeah. The second point was that he is the eternal and all-powerful God. And I thought this was a good point. And this is where I kind of felt a little bit like a seminary class, again, kind of going through all these different worldviews and ideologies that people can have and ascribe to. And if we have a God who is eternal and all-powerful, then it refutes a whole bunch of different worldviews and thoughts that are out there.
Well, atheism is out.
Yeah.
And of course, pantheism is out from the standpoint of God being the creator. So God's not in what he created. He's set apart as the creator of that which is created. Polytheism, we're not talking about many gods, but one God. Materialism cannot be the gold standard either because matter has a beginning.
Yeah.
And God is the creator of all the matter. So matter can't matter ultimately.
Right.
And then idealism, humanism, relativism, and evolutionism, all these other isms really go by the wayside in light of God being the center of everything that he has made.
Yeah, and he's eternal, and he pre-existed all those things.
Exactly.
Right. So your third point there, and I think I even actually alluded to this without realizing we were going to talk about it, but your third point is that he is our all-sufficient creator. Is that right? Something like that?
Our all-knowing creator.
All-knowing creator. There you go.
Yeah, he knows it all. And what does he know? Well, he knows exactly what he's creating. It's very specific. We've got the heavens and the earth. And, I mean, that's it. And if you think about it for a second, that's really all there is. There's space and mass.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is nothing else that he created.
Yeah.
You know, everything in this room, everything we're looking at, you know, it's, and even the airways by which you're hearing this, is space and mass that he created by his hand. And so he knows exactly what he's doing. Everything's exactly where it needs to be. And it's amazing. So we talked about his creating everything out of nothing in light of really his ordaining the space, mass, time continuum. Mm. We have the beginning. In the beginning, there's time. He created the heavens. Here we have space and the earth, mass. So he starts it all off. He knows exactly what he's doing to such an to such an extent that we see that through what he's created, we are all without excuse because we're, as we look at the mass, as we look at space, you know, we're brought to this incredible, humbling thought of there's got to be something behind all this. We see all the organizing principles. We'll talk more about this as the series unfolds, but, you know, just like the periodic table, one more electron, proton, neutron, I've got a whole new element.
Yeah.
And that's all organized.
Yeah.
And it's not sheer chaos.
Right, right. It didn't just happen.
Right.
You know, what's cool is I thought there was a point where it was somewhat of an apologetic statement or a different way of looking at it when people say the Bible isn't scientific. Well, obviously the Bible wasn't written to be scientific. But if you think about that, you had your point was like you have the mass, you have the matter, and you have all the elements there, but then you just needed a catalyst. We'll talk about it real quick. You said
with the space mass time continuum, you know, to do science, you've got to have, you know, matter, and you have to have space in between all the particles, and you need time when you're going to start your experiment, and then you need a catalyst. And of course, God is the catalyst. He's the creator. We're going to see this next Sunday how he literally is the catalyst by way of the Holy Spirit energizing all of creation.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's this same catalyst, the Holy Spirit, who energizes our lives spiritually.
Yeah. One of the concerns that potentially people could have when you think about having a series potentially as long as this in Genesis is like, well, when are you going to talk about Jesus? You know, and we got to talk about Jesus in Genesis 1:1 this week, as seeing your last point was that he is our gracious redeemer. So how do you talk about Jesus in Genesis? And so it's pretty clear for us that think about it a little bit deeper, but maybe for those that don't.
Right. What we see, especially as Jesus reveals himself to us by way of the New Testament, we keep running into this idea that Jesus is the one who is behind creation. Like John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, prior to getting to this idea that, well, cool, the Word, you know, that which was with God and was God is really Jesus. That's the Christ. Well, we find out in verse 2, that passage, that he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. And you're like, he's the creator. Holy cow, never thought about that. And then Hebrews 1, same kind of thing, where we find out that in terms of creation and Christ, same idea in verse 3, that he's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And in verse 2, it says, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And you go, oh, there it is again. And then Paul talks about it in Colossians in terms of, and actually tying his created capability to his redemption ability, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, it says in Colossians 1, verse 14. And then verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth. So you just go, okay, wait a minute. Here's the second person of the Trinity, Christ, who's at the very center of all that's created. And now we marvel. That if the New Testament assertion and the Old Testament prophecies by which we encounter Christ suggest that he is God's Son, God incarnate, God in the flesh, then if God is the creator, logically, then Christ must be that said creator. So we go, okay.
Yeah.
The Bible is consistent everywhere.
Yeah. And it's cool because if you think, even back to your first point, that he's the beginning and the end, you get Genesis 1:1 and you see Jesus in there, and in Revelation 22, amen, come Lord Jesus. Like, he's all throughout.
Well, he's the Alpha and Omega. You know, I should have thrown that verse in there for fun.
I know, right? So very good. Anything else you want to say about your sermon this last week or preview this week?
Well, coming up this week, three main roles that we see God in here as creator, and that he really is the architect behind all that exists, and he is the catalyst, and we're going to see that he is the light. And so we're going to see that by way of the Trinity in terms of how that unfolds, and we're going to see that, you know, even in our own salvation in terms of the light that we've seen, and that it's the Holy Spirit that is the catalyst, and that ultimately God the Father is the one overseeing it all in terms of his plan for our lives. Cool. Wonderful.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, me too.
That's right. We're going to show a cool video on Sunday too, so that'll be fun.
Cool. I can't wait to be there.
All right. We'll see you guys there. Bye-bye.